Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and I am in a hotel room with Sea Dog VA doing something truly awful.
No, he's barged into my hotel room and just said, we're recording the podcast now, and that's what we're doing.
it is like uncanny. You compare this to the Trash Takes podcast, you know, backed by a multi-billion dollar company in a two-story building with a team of thousands.
Hey, we built it from the ground up. We worked very hard on our podcast.
And this is just me with a microphone in a hotel room. And in fact, the last time you were on, we did it in a karaoke booth.
Yeah, why can't you just let me film a podcast in like a normal situation?
The only reason you come on the podcast is when I'm desperate, basically. Because we're desperate, right? We're going to have the podcast up tomorrow. We're currently cycling, and this is why we're doing it. We're cycling across Hokkaido over the next week. Mm. We are 3 days into a 700-kilometre cycle.
Yeah.
I cannot feel my legs, but for the most part, it's been a success, right?
Yeah, I mean, so far it's been great, except for today. Today was awful.
Today was awful because
of
rain.
It was just raining. We were supposed to have 3 hours where it wasn't supposed to rain. Mm. And that was a complete lie. We had 10 minutes and then it started raining and it just did not stop the entire day, which is just, it's just awful when you're trying to live stream it, which I forgot, I haven't even mentioned that to your viewers. So I've been live streaming this whole thing, which has been a challenge upon itself, whereas Chris has been filming it for his channel.
So Connor's streaming it every day on Sea Dog VA on Twitch, and then there'll be an Abroad Japan video probably out in about 2 weeks.
Way more professional and less...
Some slick drone shots. But, you know, I see the merit in streaming. It's quite dynamic. It's been a lot of fun. We caught Connor falling face first into a bush.
Yeah, if I didn't have my live stream, we wouldn't have caught that.
True.
And that's something that I feel like you just wouldn't want to like miss. Like if we didn't have that on camera,
I wouldn't miss that.
I'd be annoyed if I fell in a bush and it wasn't filmed.
I would be very annoyed as well.
Yeah,
and that was good fortune that the stream was running then, because a few times on this trip the stream's cut out because we've been going through very remote kind of mountain ranges, right?
So that's been like my challenge, is figuring out where we can go, and that is not easy. Mm. I kind of have to look at the cell phone map data online, kind of plan out our route. Chris wanted to go along the sea. So we started in Wakanai, which is the most northern point in Hokkaido, and we're going to finish in Hakodate, 700 kilometers, 500 miles. And, you know, the best way to do it is to go along the sea.
Well, you say the best way. The simplest way, I think, is to go along the sea route.
It's shorter as well.
It's a bit shorter and there's less hills, right?
Yeah.
But because Connor was like, I want to stream. I need to stream to the masses. They need to see me and hear me all the time.
I think it's a cool thing.
We had to take the inland route, which is a little bit more populated, and because they've got civilization and the internet there. And you know what? I'm quietly glad that we've done that, because I think this route inland has been a lot more interesting and eventful than just cycling along endless coastline of nothing for like 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, even though it's been really tough, we'll say the best thing is maybe the restaurants at the end of the day. We found some really good ones in small towns when we don't get kicked out.
That's true. I mean, we'll get to that in a minute. But like, we're in Asahikawa at the moment, which is a, I think the second or third biggest city in Hokkaido after Sapporo and Hakodate.
Crazy to think, because you don't really hear much about it.
You don't really hear much about Asahikawa. The thing it's known for the most is a zoo and lots of snow and being very cold. And I've only driven through here once when I drove to Wakanai with Pete like, 1 year ago, right? And I kind of thought, what goes on there? What goes on in Asahikawa? And now we know. As a zoo. But we today we've just eaten a lot of yakitori chicken. It's been very, very
we've done much. That every day.
We've done that every day. But we did it, yeah, we've had a few odd encounters. Are they racist or are they just grumpy? You can never tell.
That's the question. And, at the end of the day, we're not going to make a scene to find out.
No.
It's a lose-lose. You get kicked out, you make a scene, maybe you get a seat, but are you really going to be comfortable there? It's like, no, you just kind of politely be like, all right, okay, goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, so basically on our first night in Wakanai, the most northern town in Japan, we went into a yakitori restaurant, we poked our head in, and we're like, oh, sumimasen, yoni no onegaishimasu, like four people. And the guy was like,
no.
Basically, don't come in.
Like, shooing us away, really. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, fuck off, basically. To translate it, it's basically, yeah, fuck off. And we were like, oh. And we thought at first, classically, it was, oh, maybe the restaurant's full. But there was a window into the restaurant. You could see quite clearly there was two tables on the left of the entrance that were very much empty and it wasn't busy. And you could tell he just didn't want to serve us. And that happens occasionally because shop owners who don't speak English get kind of nervous about dealing with foreigners. They don't want to deal with it. And then on the second day, we stayed in a...
this is awful.
In a hotel where... We tried so fucking hard to find a hotel on the second day of the trip. We were in a town called Nakagawa, I believe.
Yeah, Nakagawa.
Yeah, literally, center river.
There's only one hotel.
There was only one
place.
One hotel within about a 50-kilometer radius, and they didn't seem to be very overly happy. Again, I don't know if it was the place, the hotel, the woman. I think it was the woman. The woman in question was there.
Well, it was just such a drag.
Well, we walked in. We tried to ring them up first to sort of reserve a room.
Yeah.
And they were very short-tempered. So in the end, we actually got a Japanese friend to ring them up and book the room.
And it all went smoothly.
And they went smoothly that time. So then we got in there and Connor and I went up to the desk and the woman was like, you could just sort of feel the air of the room.
You can tell when there's a bit of like, oh God,
Yeah.
And there was like three of them there and they were just, you could tell they were just kind of hoping we'd go away. It was like, well, we're checking in. We want to have the room key, please.
Well, there was some sort of miscommunication. We thought, we'd signed all the documents and everything. We'd, done everything. And we thought you would pay on your way out of the hotel. And the staff sort of had finished with us and they were just sort of going about their business. Yeah. We thought, oh, okay, we're done. And we started walking away. And then a woman came running out the side door like, no, you have to pay now, pay. And we're like, oh, okay, that's no
really
problem.
Really loudly, though.
But it was like, just like really odd.
It was
really
odd.
And then when I said, oh, we'll pay together, she was like, together? What? It was really weird. But then the worst thing was like, well, there was only one room in the hotel available, allegedly. And because we've got a cameraman, Paul, and we've got Ian, the driver, the legend, the man, the myth, the legend, the project coordinator who comes with us on Journey Across Japan, we tried to see if there was another room for them. And we were like, oh, is there another room? She's like, no.
Chris gave a really charming story to try and convince her.
First of all, I said, oh, the hotel's full, right? And she was like, yes. And I was like, oh, that's a shame. And I said, I said in Japanese, oh, our two friends, they're in the car park and they've got to drive all the way back to Wakanai to a hotel room tonight. It's a terrible shame. And there was no sympathy. She just looked I like slapped her in the face. She looked very like, I don't give a shit. Get away from me.
I think it was worth an attempt to be like, is there any chance there's a free room that, that maybe someone cancelled the day off, I don't think there's anything wrong in trying to, sympathise and explain that story. But, this hotel, we called like a month in advance. A Japanese friend of ours called a month in advance. And there was no opening. So then randomly the day before, they had an opening. So we thought, maybe
there's some wiggle room, right? Yeah.
It was weird. It's really strange to hear about a hotel being completely booked a month in advance when it was quite a big hotel in a really quiet area. Really odd.
that area was impossibly remote.
It was, I mean, you don't go there by accident, that's for sure. You don't go there as a tourist.
No, no. So the first 3 days of the trip, we've gone through some of the remote parts of Hokkaido, and the scenery's been jaw-dropping, but it does sort of wear you down after a while. You don't see any convenience stores. You don't see any civilization. Yeah, you don't toilets. See any signs of life. I don't mind it, but the rain today really made me want it to end. And as of today, now we're in Asahikawa, we've got a straight, clear shot through the most populated regions of Hokkaido, so there's going to be a lot more civilization. Weirdly, they don't have convenience stores for, you know, your regular Famimart, Lawson's, 7-Eleven. Those convenience stores don't exist in North Hokkaido. They've got
really few and far between.
Yeah, they've got a chain called Seiko Mart, and they don't have ATMs, as Connor found out. I've been paying for all the meals on the trip.
It took 2 days to find an ATM. I'm not kidding. I just wonder, do these people just take like thousands of dollars out their bank at a time and then just ration it?
Just keep it under the bed.
I forgot to get money out on day one, so I only had $100 each month, and I just couldn't for the life of me get any ATMs. We stopped at so many convenience stores. None of them had ATMs.
Very convenient. I had to pay everything, every fucking meal. Connor's like,
I couldn't pay for anything. It was very sad, and Chris complained. But it was good, though. I think it's all been going really well. My main concern was signal. I mean, because obviously when we're live streaming to filming, very different. And the signal in North Hokkaido is not good. But we managed. I think it's been pretty good.
We've done about 270 kilometres.
Yeah. Just about, 270 kilometres, exactly.
We've raised about $70,000 for...
$76,000.
$76,000 for the IDF, the Israeli Defence
Force. No, stop, it's a terrible joke. Immune Deficiency Foundation.
Immune Deficiency Foundation, a worthy cause.
No.
The IDF, Israeli Defence Force, already very well funded. They don't need any charity appeal.
The US government is helping them.
But, like, you know, it's been really amazing seeing people donate that much money, and that's the power of streaming, right? You know,
I think
if this was a YouTube appeal, we would have raised £4.50. But because it's Twitch, people want to be in on it. They want to be part of the action. They feel, compelled to actually donate, which is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, you can watch the struggle and you can sympathize with it a lot more, I feel, as opposed to YouTube, where you're like, this is hard. Time lapse. it's like, oh, okay, so I didn't actually... But if you see a guy for 8 hours in the rain just going up a horrible hill, it's like, you know, you can really sympathize with that. I mean, even when I was cycling in the rain, I was like, yeah, I remember what it felt like to not be in the rain and to not have to experience this. It's like, I don't know, and it brings everyone together. You know, you're watching the journey. It's like... Almost, it's not, I'm not really doing anything. It's like, I'm just a kind of progress vehicle that people can kind of join onto and kind of, right, get behind and have something to root for a week.
Absolutely.
I mean, I love it when there's an event going on all week that I can tune into every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been fantastic in that regard. But like, as Connor said, there is a struggle there. Like yesterday, in terms of incline and altitude, we cycled 707 metres, you know, which is insane. You try to picture that.
Uphill, not total.
Yeah, uphill, yeah.
Because it's insane to imagine people cycled 700 metres.
The altitude that we cycled up to is 707 metres. So the altitude of, say... the Tokyo Skytree or One World Trade Center.
That starts from zero as well.
Yeah. So you picture like the Tokyo Skytree, the World Trade Center, and that's how high we cycled upwards. That's kind of a terrifying thing to imagine.
Do you feel like you're getting more used to the uphills? I feel like slowly I'm getting better at dealing with them. I don't find them as daunting.
I'm curious in a sort of anthropological way for this trip of like what this is going to do to my body. You know, when I weighed myself at the start of this trip, I was 84.5 kilograms. I weighed myself at the morning before the trip, right?
Yeah.
And I'll weigh myself the morning after the last day of the trip. And it'll be interesting to see what the difference is. I do suspect, though, I probably built a lot of leg muscle this time or toned a lot of muscle.
You've absolutely like put your legs through the ringer. I mean, it's crazy to think that we wake up, we have about an hour to relax, you know, get ready.
Relax? Yeah. There's no relaxation on this bloody trip.
We've about an hour to just get ready to go, and then for 8 hours, our legs are just permanently working.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's mentally taxing because you've got to worry about the video, you've got to worry about the live stream, it's a lot.
Yesterday was the most physically difficult day.
Oh, yeah.
Today was the most mentally difficult day because of the rain and whatnot, but... Yeah, no, my legs, they are very stiff and sore, and they're practically begging for a day off, a day that we do not have from this trip.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Well, originally maybe you planned to add a day rest, but then we decided to make one of the other days a lot easier.
Yeah, we did consider having a day off during this trip, but we're not now.
But I also think it's more exciting to do it consecutive days as well.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we're on our third day, going to our fourth day now, and my legs still operate normally. Yeah. They are very stiff, though.
I feel like it's just a pain you get used to, right? You just have to power through it, and the first 10 minutes of the cycle every day is kind of rough, but after that, once you're warmed up, you're going.
Well,
become a machine.
One thing I found was on the first 2 days of the trip, my legs just above my kneecap really bloody hurt. And then I found my seat was a little bit too low, and I made my seat about 1 centimetre higher, and the game changed. The pain went away. So make sure your seat's the right height. Don't be a moron like me.
It's hard to tell, though, because
it is hard to know the exact sweet spot, right?
I don't really know. I mean, you got yours measured at the store, right? Mm. So they presumably went, here's how, you know, your human biology, this is the perfect seat height for you. But obviously then, it wasn't, right?
But then, no, it was. And then I moved the seat when I had to pack it into a bag. Because we flew to Hokkaido, right? So I had to put the bicycle in a bag.
We could do a whole podcast just figuring out how the hell to transport the bike on a plane. Yeah, my God.
It wasn't fun.
What a nightmare trying to get a bike. And also we got to do it on the way back on the Shinkansen. So, yeah, if you do want to come to Japan and bike, it is possible to take your bike on trains, on planes, wherever you want to. It is just a massive hassle.
Yeah, I mean, I carried onto the Shinkansen. I think I hit someone around the back of the head.
No!
The bike's like a meter long. I swung it around and slapped someone like...
No! I mean, your bike package is smaller than mine.
What is it? Top trunk fucking bike bag? My bag's bigger than yours.
Listen, so I presumed that you'd do the same thing. So when I bought my bike at the store, I was like, hey, I don't want to take the back wheel off because this seems like a pain in the ass.
Mm.
Is there any bags that can fit, say, if I were to just take the front wheel off? And they were like, yeah, we have those. Those are like the biggest size. But then like when I turned up to the airport, mine was like a Frankenstein looking bag. It was like you could clearly see it was a bike and it was all sticking out. It was all like, oh, what have I done? This is a mess. But Chris is all really neatly packaged.
I'm very neat, tidy, and perfect.
I was really impressed that you said you did it on your own, which I don't believe. But
I did do it on my own.
I'm shocked.
It was a 2-hour struggle when I did it on my own.
I'm really impressed. That's more impressive than cycling 700 kilometres.
I packed it in my studio and I was just sitting there swearing for 2 hours. Like, fucking rush and fucking bike bag. It was a sight to behold.
Do you think you could put it back together without Ian?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think I could put the back wheel back on. I used to cycle a lot, but I haven't done it in so long, and I never ever took the back wheel off because I was always scared of the gears. So I never tried. Maybe I should one day learn the true bicycle skills.
But I do think bicycle is the best way to see Japan.
Oh, for sure.
You get to take it in at just the right speed. Walk it, it's too slow. Drive it, you miss it all. Bike, you get to really soak in all the little towns and villages along the way.
Yeah. I mean, I did a road trip from the very bottom of Japan to the very top of Japan with Trash Taste. Yeah. It's not out yet. But that was nine days of traveling from the very, very, very bottom to the very, very top. And yeah, we just blasted through it. Mm. And like, you know, obviously sometimes you got to stay in a really nice restaurant or a really nice hotel, but you didn't really get to see anything.
Absolutely.
And I feel like, you know, when we landed in Wakana, I was like, wow, it's green and luscious and nice. And I remember it not looking like this. It looked really old and musky and grey. And it was just a completely different vibe during summer. Kind of feels like the northern parts of Japan come alive during the summer.
Oh, they do. I mean, we both came here in the winter. You came here in March, right, this year?
April.
Oh, April.
But it was still like there was nothing. There was no plants, no greenery, nothing.
When I came up this part of the world, it was, I think, February last year with Pete. We did the big drive to Wakkanai. It was blizzards galore.
Oh, my God.
And interestingly, Wakkanai just felt like, you know, Siberia. Because as you're driving along the coastline, there's just, like, icebergs. And the sea is actually frozen, which I've never seen before in Japan, right? So it is, like, night and day. I didn't know they could have, like, trees and greenery and scenery and fun up here.
It's very European-esque.
It does, yeah. It's basically like Europe here.
Yeah.
That's what Hokkaido is known for. And we, unfortunately, we get to miss a lot of the great scenery in central Hokkaido, because if we cycled that way, we would die cycling through the mountains.
Well, we'd just never get anywhere.
We would just die.
What route do you reasonably take?
Just the mountains of hell.
Yeah, I think we already...
It made the 707-metre incline look like a tea party if we went that way, unfortunately.
It is crazy, because like, you drive some of these roads and you just don't think twice about it being uphill. And then when you're cycling some of these really, really long stretches of uphill... Talking like, you know, like 2 to 4 kilometres just uphill. You're like, okay, yeah, this is not fun. This is really stupid. And I hate this and I want to die.
The slightest incline, it gets very difficult. But do you think we can finish the cycle? We've got, how many days? We've got 5 days left, 6 days left? I don't even know.
I genuinely think the biggest thing stopping my motivation from doing any of the cycling is just the rain. If there's no rain, I'm happy to stay out all day and cycle.
Sure.
But the rain at points was just unbearable. You get cold as well, really cold.
Yeah, particularly today. I think my main concern is just getting some injury from falling off the bike, as Connor so recklessly demonstrated yesterday with his ninja tactics, rolling into a field. I worry that that will be my downfall, like falling off the bike, breaking something, twisting something.
I mean, you're keeping your hands on the bike. It was my fault. There was a big rock. I should have looked at the ground, saw all the rocks. I took one of my hands off the bike. And, you know, I'm sure you had it today. Sometimes you hit rocks and your bike does not like it. It can, because, you know, these road bikes have really thin tires. A big stone can really mess up your bike.
Mm.
So I think as long as you keep both hands on bikes, you'll be fine. You'll be totally fine. You won't mess up.
How's the trip changed your image of Hokkaido?
More race. It's made me want to come back to Hokkaido in summer more. Well, because you only ever hear about Hokkaido winter, you know.
That's true.
Such snow festival, this, all that, and skiing. And don't get me wrong, I definitely think it is the best in winter.
We've been to Hokkaido together twice, right?
Both times in winter.
We came here for skiing, we came here for an awful ferry ride that I'd rather forget.
Yeah, and when was that? That was like May or something.
But the first time I came was in summer with Natsuki, I think, and that was that was fantastic. Like, it's a very good summer place. And obviously, compared to the rest of Japan, it's slightly cooler. We couldn't do this cycle in mainland Japan. We would just a puddle of sweat and death right about now.
I did like a 70K preparation stream where I cycled 70K. And I was just drenched.
Absolutely.
It was just disgusting. Like, also, all the equipment overheated.
Oh, shit.
Because going from 20 to 30 degrees is a complete game changer for electronics.
I mean, we're talking a 10 degrees Celsius
with
temperature
humidity
difference, right? And the humidity is the real killer.
There's no humidity up here right now. It's amazing.
No. So Hokkaido, perfect kind of summer escape.
Genuinely, I think if you're... I hate to say it because I kind of want to go to Hokkaido all year round. I want to go in the winter and I also want to go in the summer. And it's like, all right,
getting greedy.
I just think Hokkaido is an amazing place. And when I thought about this cycling thing, when I introduced the idea to Chris, I was like, I think it's got to be Hokkaido. I mean, it's just like my favorite place. I think it's one of the best prefectures in Japan. I just feel like it's got such a good cultural identity as well. So much food, so much amazing drink. Like,
yeah.
Everything about Hokkaido is just generally amazing.
It's very unique. It's perfect for Japan. And we still haven't ran into any bears on this trip.
Oh, well, yeah, you bought bear spray in preparation, which
we have
is
to,
overkill.
Really.
No,
it's
you
not
don't.
Overkill.
I think it's overkill. We're not going to see bears. Assumedly, you're assuming that the bears immediately want to attack you as well. Why would they?
No, I don't think they do, but I think it's good to be prepared in case one jumps out. Literally just last week, a brown bear was caught tearing up a car.
When you subscribe to like bear Twitter, where are you finding all this stuff?
A bear's going to come out now, and there's going to be a moment when you're like, Chris, the bear spray!
And
it's
going to be in your bag, and he's not going to know how to use it.
And I'll be fumbling around.
Yeah, I'm going to die.
And he'll die. Oh, I'll just leave you.
This will be a poorly aged podcast.
I'm leaving my fucking bear spray in the bag now. But the bear spray we've got is made by, I think, some American guy. And there's a photo of his face on the can where he's been mauled in the face by a bear.
Wow, lovely.
And he, like, swore revenge.
Oh, great.
And made the most effective bear spray on the planet.
Oh, my God.
It's like pepper spray.
I feel bad.
On steroids.
I feel bad. I know.
Yeah, I would feel bad.
I know that, like, the bear wouldn't feel bad about killing me, so I shouldn't feel bad about pepper spraying the bear. But something like the idea of just spraying
No, I don't disagree. I don't know.
I feel sad.
I wouldn't want to either.
I'd rather just try and outrun it.
I would love to watch that on my GoPro.
That would be a good incentive for the stream. $10 more and I'll outrun this bear. It's like the outrun games. You get to the checkpoint to keep the time going.
To escape the bear.
Yeah, to escape the bear. That was it.
That'd be good. Well, hopefully, I don't even know if I want to run into one or not.
It'd
be kind of interesting to do it from a distance.
Your GoPro won't be on, so it won't matter.
I'll be fumbling in the bag, trying to get the camera out.
Because Chris doesn't keep his GoPro on.
I don't keep my GoPro.
I like to keep my camera running at all times.
Well, I like to think of my editor and the hell that...
I guess I hate my editor. I guess we put our editors through hell.
Poor old Mudan. You put him through so much hell.
I do, but, you know, I mean, you catch everything, and it makes for a different experience, I think.
Well, we've got 520 kilometres to go or something. Is that right? Is that math?
No, you
no,
added up to about 800. It's about 480 left.
Let's make it around, let's call it a nice round...
420.
420.
420.
I was going to say 500.
420.
But if you're still you know, if you've got a free afternoon, tune in, guys. Have it on in the background. You might get to see Connor face plant into a road. Mm. That's quality entertainment. But
yeah, we normally start about 9 a.m. JST. And if you're watching this from the future, like years from now, I'm sure there'll be a video about it out. So come check it out.
Absolutely. And like I said, the Abroad Japan video of this will be out in the next 2 weeks. And also, we've got a special guest coming as well.
Oh, here we
Everyone's favourite American Pete, Kansas Spectacular. He'll be coming to raise our spirits or destroy our spirits.
We need Pete to help us.
Drive us mad. He'll be joining us.
The morale.
Yeah, so he'll be joining us in Sapporo in 2 days' time. Just stick around for that. Thank you so much for listening, guys. A shorter podcast than usual, not your average normal podcast, but thank you, Connor, for joining today.
Can I sleep now?
You can sleep.
You harass me. It's 9:30 p.m. and I want to sleep. I've cycled all day.
But for now, guys, have a great few days. We'll see you right back here, do all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Tune in later. Watch the stream tomorrow. Bye for now.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.